Every Christ follower is issued a simple and yet profound invitation. It's an invitation to follow. However, this is not an invitation to follow blindly, because His footprints are there for you to see. Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama. If you dare to accept the challenge to follow Jesus in His steps, you will join a long line of faithful followers who have gone before you, both within Fraser Church and around the world. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to Day 27 of In His Steps. Joseph served through honoring. Romans 12:10 says, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." Our text today is in Matthew 27, verses 57 through 60. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Today we come to another disciple of Jesus named Joseph. Interestingly, like Dorcas from yesterday's devotion, the early disciples of Jesus were known for their acts of service. Douglas O'Donnell's commentary on Matthew provides excellent details surrounding Joseph's identity and his acts of service. Here are three key observations about Joseph. First, he was Jewish. We know that fact from his Jewish name, Joseph, and his Jewish hometown, Arimathea. Second, Joseph was rich. Why does Matthew mention that detail? There's perhaps a theological reason. Namely, even rich men can be faithful followers of Jesus. There is a place for rich men in the church, men who put Jesus before money by putting their money to work for Jesus. This is the first time in Matthew that wealth takes on a positive connotation. Matthew mentions Joseph's wealth for historical reasons. Only a rich and politically connected man could gain access to Pilate and actually be granted his request. And only a rich man would be able to afford a clean linen shroud, a new tomb that was likely cut into the limestone hillside cave, and a great stone that was rolled in front of the tomb. My third observation about Joseph was that he demonstrated courageous love for Christ. In Matthew's gospel, Joseph makes a short cameo appearance. His scene is short but sweet. He arrives as quickly as he departs. He reminds us of the earlier Joseph in Matthew's first two chapters, as both Josephs are quiet. Not a word of theirs is recorded for us, and both men's deeds speak more loudly than their words. Perhaps the second Joseph is not mentioned earlier in Matthew because he was a coward. John tells us as much, for he writes that Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, as John chapter 19 tells us. Well, after Jesus' courageous death, it appears that Joseph had a conversion from bashful to brave. This coward became courageous. He is the only male disciple of Jesus to step forward in chapter 27. All of the apostles are absent. It took great courage for a highly distinguished member of the Sanhedrin to go by himself to Pilate in order to ask for the body of a convicted and crucified criminal. What would the other members of the council think about this? Would they resent him? Would they kick him out of the club? And what would Pilate think of such a politically charged request? Pilate could have said no and ordered Jesus' body to remain on the cross to rot in the sun the next day, being picked apart by birds and then torn apart by scavenger dogs. That would be quite the warning to anyone aspiring to insurrection. And that was done in those days. Or he could have ordered that Jesus' body be thrown into a mass grave with other criminals and no names. Or Pilate could have charged Joseph with siding with the enemy. Joseph was very bold here. By going to Pilate, he risked his reputation and perhaps even his life. Along with being a courageous man, Joseph was a loving man. Rich men don't usually do slaves' work. But here we see a rich man prepare Jesus' body for a proper and honorable burial. He dirtied his clean hands, during Passover no less, by touching Jesus' unclean body, thus ironically obeying the law. He served the servant of servants, the one who came to serve and lay down his life for others. Joseph took, wrapped, laid, cut, rolled, and went away embodied Jesus's John 13-foot washing model. He loved the greatest man ever to live in the least great moment of that man's life. Joseph's kind action echoes the anonymous woman who anointed Jesus's body for burial. She anoints him for burial, and Joseph prepares the body. Both are tender gestures, and both are now part of the gospel story we tell. They have been rewarded for their good deeds. Joseph shows us how the Christian faith works. Our faith is to be courageous, loving, doing faith. Joseph is an excellent example and a model for serving Jesus. Out of his great desire to honor Jesus, Joseph risked his life to show his respect and love for the Lord. Some questions to think about today. How does Joseph's public affection for Jesus give you greater courage to live for the Lord? How can honoring someone become a genuine motive for serving? Joseph will forever be remembered by honoring Jesus after his death. Contemplate your future legacy and write down how you want to be remembered. How can your service to the Lord impact your legacy? May we honor others today as we serve today. Have a blessed day.